And in some sort of way, I was with the understanding and I made an obligation to our brother Glenn, knowing that he can be called out at any time, that I'd be willing to fill in for him tonight. And so with that, on behalf of Mr. Glenn Orsted, our priest, I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all those that are live streaming, welcome as well. So that's the change. And we got to be ready for changes. And it's been an interesting week. And, you know, it's always good to be with you. And I say that because I'm thankful that I was able to be here yesterday to support the Moser family and the loss of Don Moser. And, you know, it's interesting because it led me to have a lot of thoughts on what I wanted to bring tonight. And I'm just appreciative of the life that the Lord gives us. And one of the things that came to mind when I was sitting there and enjoying some of the past experiences that family has had with Don and how I can relate to some of those stories, especially some of the antics that go on within families while you're doing fun activities such as fishing. So that caught my attention. Boy, I got a laugh out of that one. And I still am. And I'm thankful for that. And one of the things that led me to think about is as we were viewing the pictures, and we've done this a lot, it seems, and it's a truth that we've done this a lot, viewing and watching people's lives go by with the pictures that are provided from the loving families. And I was thinking to myself, wow, one day that's going to be me. And my pictures are probably going to be up there, and people are going to be saying all kinds of silly things about me and my life. And I just hope some of the pictures that show up there aren't some of the goofy pictures that my family has taken of me over the years. But I guess that would pretty much be irrelevant to me regardless. So if you guys are a witness to that, then enjoy. But I really have been seeing a lot of changes. And so I've been praying about it. And you know, again, that's one thing that I am really becoming more and more appreciative is the family that we have. Folks at home can be able to hear as well. I understand. So again, you know, these things that transpire in our life, the changes, it's interesting because I would find it, I am curious what it would be like if we knew of all the changes that were to transpire in our lives. If the Lord laid it out in front of us and had it there for us to see, would that actually change us in various other ways? And I know the Lord has a plan for each and every one of us, and it's according to His will. And, you know, the beauty of God's plan is that we have a loving God that cares for His children. And regardless of what goes on in this world, those changes that we're a part of, it's a gift. This time is a gift to us. And as I was kind of going over my notes, you know, this world is changing so fast, and there's so many things going on, that as I was kind of reviewing the news before I came here, you know, there's all these things that have been mentioned over the pulpit as of lately with the war in Israel, the Russia situation with the turmoil that is going on, and how Iran's playing a big part in this support against Israel. And just, it was about 41 minutes ago, because it's actually still here, that there was in Iran, the president, Ebrahim Raisi, is at this point missing. He was in a helicopter crash, and so that's the second in charge, aside from the Ayatollah in Iran, that, you know, this is a big change for the regime in Iran. And it's just like, wow, you know, things happen that fast. And all these things that are unfolding before us, you know, it's interesting to see. And, you know, we take these things as they come, and with a surety that the Lord is going to care for his children. And one of the things that I just kind of been observing here in the recent months, this last year, is that there's been this constant ebb and flow here, even within our local, this increase and decreasing of our members. And I guess it's been going on for years now, years and years. It's just, you know, we seem to be in this decrease of our attendance. And, you know, one of the things that I tell my kids, you know, through everything, my wife as well, is that we just got to keep, just keep swimming, just keep being an example, just keep being a light. And, you know, I know that the Lord will give us the ability to continue to be that light no matter what. And my desire is for that to draw people in. And I know that with all these changes going on, that this has happened. This has been a fact throughout civilization, throughout time, that these things happen. And I wanted to start off in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8. This is one of the things that kind of just drew my mind to, you know, when Solomon is saying to the Israelites, you know, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh and a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. And it's interesting because these few eight verses in itself could be a study in its entirety of the depth that this goes, speaking towards the Israelites and their histories of where they've been. And it's relevant. Each one of these items is relevant to situations that they were in. And this is something that I've been thinking about, and how it's, in a way, a reflection of every generation. You know, there's similarities in every one of our generations that go along with this. And I like how there is meaning to these verses, and it's something that we can all relate to, and how the Lord puts these things together. And when this was written, there's 28 actions in these eight verses. And these 28 actions were related to one orbit of the moon around the earth, which I actually Googled, it was 27.3. I don't know if they rounded up back then, but that was according to the moon's revolution around the earth. And one of the things that this symbolizes is that there's always change. Every single day, there's change. The moon plays so many roles in the gospel and today in our world, what it does, why God put it in place, how it brings life and changes and weather, and has such a great impact on so many things that is involved with the earth. And it changes things, and these things change over time. And this is something that is created by God for reasons. And All these reasons here are part of that, or all these verses are part of that. Some of these things that transpire in verses 1 through 8 are according to God and his purpose that don't change, that are put in place by him for a specific reason that he has there for his reasons. Some of these situations in these verses here depend on the will of man. And I think about that and where our world's at today and what the will of man is. And it was mentioned earlier by Jerry that this is an election year. Oh boy, what a mess that can be. And it's difficult. And I know that change is difficult sometimes. I read a book, and one of the things that society and peoples have the hardest time doing, especially as we get older, is deal with change. The book was called Who Moved My Cheese? And it's a easy read and it's a good book, but it's a simple fact that we have a very difficult time in changing. And I found that challenge to be easier to overcome the more that I put my heart in God's hands. And one of the things that with change is that God doesn't want us to remain idle. He doesn't want us to stay the way that we are no matter what every single day. He wants us to grow. He wants us to draw closer unto him. You know, the scriptures are there to teach, for us to learn, to help us be able to be perfected in Christ. And all these things that we do has nothing to do with being idle. And I find that easier and easier to understand because of some of the things that I've been reading about what time and a little change can do over such a long period. And we see that in nature and in our own lives and our spiritual walks. We look back and we see through experiences people have had and how that little change can really impact a great multitude of people. And so that's one of the things that I really would like to encourage is that, you know, we have a work to do, that do not remain idle, and let the Lord lead you in helping you change to make things better for other, be a blessing for other people, and make things achievable for them as well. And in Proverbs 16:3, it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And really, when you have your focus on the Lord, some of these things that can seem so daunting, hard to overcome, hard to achieve, you're capable of doing it. And so that led me to listen and to kind of indulge into the book of Joshua. And I appreciate our ministry, and some of the things that I'm seeing is, and it's interesting, is how there's a forecast in my mind. This is the way that I perceive it. There's a forecast that the torch is going to be passed. And Jay was up here yesterday, and hi Jay, hope you're feeling better. And he was doing the memorial. He was in charge of the memorial, and I was thinking about some of the things that Jay was saying, and it was interesting because about when Jay was my age now, that's when I started coming to services with Alicia, right about that, yeah, because, you know, it's interesting to hear, and when I look at some of the ministry, when they speak of their age, it's, wow, like, that's shocking. Where did that go? And it makes me think about the responsibilities that there are, and it's important that we understand these changes and have the ability and the will to put it in the Lord's hands and let him be able to help us to continue this work in the gospel. And so Joshua, I was thinking about that. This was right after Moses passed, and and the torch was passed, so to speak. And he had a daunting task. The Lord had commissioned him to be in charge of the Israelites and to cross the River Jordan and to go into Canaan and to conquer all these lands. And I wanted to get into that a little bit, and I'm going to start in Joshua 1:1, and I'm going to read all the way through verse 9. We're just going to kick it off with that. And it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel." And I wanted to stop there real quick, because they're sitting there and they're at the River Jordan, and this is a time of the year when the river is full. The river is flowing. They're getting ready to use the water for the harvest, and this is one of the first trials of faith that Joshua has. He's standing there. He's got all the Israelites there and camped up, and he has to figure this out. And so we know that Joshua is given this direction, and I look at this thing and the situation that he's in, and man, it's got to be daunting. But what does he do? He puts his faith in the Lord. And it says, and starting in 3 now, "Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe and to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord God, thy God, is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." And so, you know, this is a big task that Joshua has to take on. And I appreciate the fact that the Lord is telling him to do as and observe according to all that is written therein. Don't deviate from it, and he'll take care of you. We're given the words of the gospel to this day, and I found, and it's been proven in my life, that if you focus on those words, those things that you ask for that are for God's work come to fruition. And I appreciate this reassurance, the support that Joshua gets from the Lord. You know, there's something about that when you have a loving father that is willing to support you every step of your way where you're going to go. And when it even seems impossible, he does things and changes things and makes things happen to be able to bring you to a place where he has of an inheritance for you. And, you know, there's a labor involved in this. The amount of territory in today's map that this land of Canaan encompassed was Israel, part of Lebanon, Syria, Jordan, and Egypt. So this is by foot, too. You know, they didn't have tanks. They didn't have planes. They didn't have missiles and rockets to be able to travel or travel many distances and take out targets before they got there. This is all hard labor, warrior work here. And the Lord was with them. You know, when he had to cross the River Jordan, he didn't have boats, he didn't have rafts, he didn't have canoes. The Lord dried the river up so they can pass. And all that was done in their sight. And this is something that the former generations didn't have the opportunity to do, that they wandered in the desert. And at the given time, the Lord said, okay, let's go. And we see that this torch that was passed to Joshua and all the things that they had to do and all the lands that they had to conquer, the cities, all that was prepared by the Lord for them to be able to accomplish that. And this is relevant to us today, that if we put our lives in the Lord's hands, all those things that the Lord wants us to accomplish can be done. And you know, despite, and we see this in the Book of Mormon too, when we stray away from that word that we're not supposed to depart from, you know, unfortunately, things go awry. Things go in a direction that is contrary to the Lord's will, and there's consequences to that. And, you know, we see that in the Book of Joshua, there was a gentleman and his family. As they were conquering, and I forget what city it was, but his name was Achan, and he was of the house of Judah, and he coveted of the Lord's, because the Lord told him, do not take any of the stuff, any of the spoils of this war, this is all for me. And that had happened, and you know, unfortunately, there was a deviation from the Lord's plan, and there was consequences from that. All of Israel, Joshua, got their family together, and all the Israelites stoned them to death. And it was because they were not following after what the Lord had asked them to do. And, you know, this is something that they had to go by the book, and it was talked about, very relevant to this morning. You know, Christ came and put that law of Moses to rest, and this the schoolmaster, but all this was a part to bring us to Christ, to bring Christ in, to give him to us, to have an inheritance, just to make sure that those things that God blesses us with and cares for us with are part of our lives. And Christ was the one who was given to us for that, and that was all part of God's plan. So there was a change there, and it says in Romans 7:4 that wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And you know, just as Joshua was obeying the Lord, he went through and he conquered all these kingdoms. It speaks of that if we jump down in the chapter 12, verses 7 and 8, it tells about his conquerors. And in verse 24, there was 31 kings that he conquered and took all of that land that was promised to him by the Lord. And it's interesting because when all was said and done, when they conquered all these lands, there was that inheritance that was promised from the beginning. You know, something that seems so immense, so big, so unachievable, the Lord put it in place and made it happen, and it worked. And so Joshua, as he was old, he just split up all the lands and gave it to the different tribes of Israel. And, you know, that's one of the things that, in that lesson there of reading that history, that, you know, nothing that you put in place and do it for the Lord goes unrewarded. And it gives us that good sense of, in our spirit, of accomplishing something for God, and to be able to show the fruit of his labor in us and how his spirit works in us. And it's something that you might not see it day by day. And when you look back, it's there and it's obvious. And it's so much more appreciative in knowing that those things that we try to do, those challenges that we face and the changes that we face, if we do it in a manner that is pleasing unto God, how easy it is to see the fruits of your labor, and the Lord rewards us for that. And it says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, it says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed towards his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And that full assurance means entirely confident. Entirely confident in knowing that the Lord is going to take care of you. And I again appreciate this to this last verse here. "But followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And that's one of the things that following after them that are in the faith. And this is where our fellowship and being together is so important, because I'm going to share, when I was transitioning from a roving mechanic with the city of Phoenix, there was a gentleman at Deer Valley Airport, because I used to service the airport at Deer Valley and Goodyear off the truck and all the maintenance equipment and stuff like that. And there was a gentleman there that was getting ready to retire. Really appreciated him. He was a good gentleman and looked out for me and kind of helped me out, because I was 6 months in at the city already on the roving truck. His name was Bob Avina. He's retired now. And he told me, because I struggled. I came from a business that was flat rate. You worked hard, very hard every day, and you earned your money. And I love the city to death, but mentality is a little bit different. And one of the things that I just kept to it. I wasn't changing in that fashion. A good honest day's work for a good honest day's pay. That's still my mentality to this day. But this gentleman, Bob, he was chatting with me, and he said, "Gary, I just want you to know that you're just getting your career started here with the city. And before I leave, I just wanted to let you know that when you can soar like an eagle when you fly with a bunch of turkeys." And I always appreciated that, because of just how you deal with things in your workplace. And if you stay focused and if you do those things in a manner that is according to how God wants us to conduct ourselves and to go about our ethics and our morals, it really does become rewarding, knowing when you can look back and say, "Yes, I did what I can and contributed in every way possible." And I see the benefits of that in everybody's lives, careers here that have changed, prayers that have been asked for career changes, and school and tests and college. It's just interesting when you really sit back and see the Lord working with all of you. I appreciate that so much. And so those rewards are to be honored and give us the testimony of how God is working in our lives. And so serve, do that work. Serve to give God the glory. And one thing that I believe it was our brother Aaron, it says that he had mentioned a scripture about how our name is so important, when we talk about that. And there was a scripture, I think it was in Proverbs, about a man's name is valued more than wealth, in something along those lines. But I believe that as you work hard and as you do this, go through these changes in life, that the Lord gives honor to your name as well. So give honor to the Lord's name for what he does for you. And, you know, all these opportunities, take advantage of them. It's pretty neat that when you see the accomplishments of our youth, of our young people, what they do, and all I can do is say that there's a support that people don't see a lot of times, but the prayers go out for our younger generation to be able to go on their own personal conquest and accomplish those things that they can do to serve others, life of servitude. And so one of the things I wanted to do, and we did, Brother John, he helped me significantly with that. We got to cook up some food for the men, and, you know, it was very rewarding in many different ways. Full bellies, but when I think about that, the intention definitely isn't just to fill up the belly and to send these men on their way. But one of the things I really appreciated was being together. And I think that's so important, that live interaction of us being together and the fellowship that goes with that, especially when it comes to godly men, because there's something about making eye contact with people and interacting in that fashion that far surpasses interaction with the devices of technology and all that stuff. So there's a support, I think, that even when you're in the presence of each other, and that was something that was really nice to be able to share and have some time and to have a few comments made by Brother Aaron. So I'm grateful for that. And we had an abundance of food. There was a lot of food there. And, you know, one of the things I was saying is that I hope I could go home with no food. You know, it was important that we learned we appreciated the time that we had with each other and the food. You know, it really, it's good, but that's not what it's about. And so I had a little bit of food left, and I wanted to share a little story with that. Because I really appreciate the opportunities that the Lord gives. And as there was a little bit of sausage, like just a little bit in a gallon Ziploc bag, and some cornbread and some coleslaw left. And as we left for the night, there was a gentleman that was standing with a sign over on the corner. And it was just that opportune moment to be able to do what the Lord called us to do. And so I rolled down my window. You know, I was a little bit hesitant at first, and I was like, you know, it's just so odd that I was saying I don't want to go home with any food. And so I had the bread and the meat, right? And I rolled down my window, and I said, hey, mister, are you hungry? And he said, I sure am. And I said, well, you like cornbread? He said, I sure do. And so I said, I got some sausage here too, would you like that? And he said, yes, that would be really nice. And so all the food was, there was some coleslaw left, but I wasn't gonna give him coleslaw, I don't know. I guess I could have, he could have ate that some way or another, but I just saw that, and how that was the opportunity there to provide some meat and some bread for somebody that was hungry. And it just gave me a valuable lesson of that this change, you know, in our hearts can happen at a moment's notice. There's so many times where I've gone to the corner and was going to get on the freeway, and there's somebody standing there, and I just don't pay attention. And this was something that I feel the Lord had compelled me to do. And my boys were in the vehicle with me, and it was a good experience, a valuable lesson to providing for those that stand in need. And so it led me to think about this couple verses here in James chapter 2, 14 through 17. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith, he hath faith, and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister is be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful for to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And I think this is one of those things that really shows compassion towards those that do need support, providing for those that stand in need. And, you know, in so many ways, it is a way for us to be able to provide a few moments of comfort that this gentleman had a meal, that his belly was full. And to give a smile and to let him know that there are people out there that are willing to give assistance to somebody. I think about that, and you know, we're fortunate and blessed that we have a house, and you know, it just seems with today's society that we're living in, the economy, things are getting more and more and more difficult for people to make ends meet. Statistically, the amount of credit card debt and people that cannot make their mortgage payments is growing at a rapid rate. They were talking about it on the radio this week. And so, you know, if there are things that we can do, you know, show compassion and take those opportunities to be able to be a light for others and to glorify God. And that led me to speak towards Jesus feeding the 5,000 in Luke chapter 9, 12 through 17, where it says, "And when the day began to wear away, they came to the 12 and said unto them, to him, send the multitude away that they may go into towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And he said unto his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves, this is Christ, and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. And he did, and they did eat, and were all filled. And there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And, you know, it's interesting with even if you have a little, what the Lord can do in your life to make it so much. A little goes a long way. And despite of what your intentions are, if you put your intentions in your desires in the Lord's hands, he's going to give you abundance, and it's going to be able to provide for others. And this is something that, you know, with this parable here, that this is what nourishes us. This is what gives our souls the strength and the ability to be able to continue to exercise the ways of the gospel, the words that are given to us, to let them work within us. And in anything, if you ask God for what you need, whether it be a little or a lot, He's going to be there to listen. He's going to give you enough, more than enough. And just as is proven here, there's going to be a remainder there left, whether that's for the inheritance of those that are around you. But if you focus, what God gives you is enough to sustain you and then some. And that's the goodness that he gives. That's the goodness that continuously pours out from heaven to each of us if we are willing to sit down and to understand and follow after the things that God gives us to learn and grow. And this is where, you know, there's an order to everything that God does. You know, he tells them all to sit down. You know, that's being obedient to the Lord, and that's what we need to exercise in our lives, that order of things. And this is something that when we put our trust in God, those things grow. They continue to grow. And we see over time, just like in an investment, compound interest. You know, day by day, you don't see that much growth. But if you put your money in the right place and you see over a length of time, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, you see that compound interest creates something so much out of so little. And I think if we invest our time and our efforts into the Lord, those things are given to us as a reward that is more than sufficient. And I think a part of that too is being able to pass on that knowledge and be able to share your experiences. And that's as I was introducing our brother Jerry, I appreciate his experiences that he shares, because these experiences the generation before me goes through is a pathway. It's a clearing of the forest to be able to see and to see what God did in their lives and the generation before Jerry. And you know, we need to take advantage and to listen to those things and utilize that knowledge in our lives to be able to help us be able to navigate through this life with all of its changes and challenges. And part of that is, you know, the willingness that I have that we put towards serving others. And in Galatians 6, 2 through 5, it says, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall be have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." You know, if I think that I'm self-sufficient and I can do everything myself, I'm just fooling myself. And there's a lot of people like that in this world, and you see that all over the place. And one of the things that I've been growing to appreciate more and more too is being able to share the knowledge of what I've gained with those that are around me, any way that I can do to help. You know, when we think we could do everything on our own and that we don't need the Lord in our lives, we're just cheating ourselves. We're selling ourselves short of how much more we can actually be. And, you know, that's sad in a way. And it's something that takes away from all that God gives, not only from ourselves, but it could take away from others around us. And that's not what the Lord desires for us in our life. But as it says in Philippians 2:3, "Do nothing through strife nor vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." You know, think of others. And Mosiah chapter 2, 43 through 45, "I would that ye should impart of your substance to the poor, every man according to that which he hath, such as feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, visiting the sick, and administering to their relief, both spiritually and temporally, according to their wants." And I really appreciate that, because there's so much that we could just say and give of the Spirit and the charity that we have in that capacity. There's a lot of people here that have had the Lord in their lives a lot longer than I have, and I see the kindness, the humbleness, and the forbearing for one another through their actions, and that helps. Just being able to speak in manners and show spiritual kindness to others, how that can help people. And see that all these things are done in wisdom and in order, just like we were talking about in the parable of feeding the 5,000. You know, there's an order to these things. "For it is not requisite that a man should run faster than what he hath strength. And again, it is expedient that he should be diligent, that thereby he might win the prize. Therefore, all things must be done in order." You know, and there's an order to all things, just like as Joshua was crossing over the River Jordan with all the Israelites, you know, the Lord told him, you know, This book shall not depart out of thy mouth. Meditate on it. Use it day in and night. And observe those things that he is being taught and those things that were written in. This is how we establish order in our lives and can structure our lives to achieve those things that we ask of the Lord. All these accomplishments throughout these changes that we're going through, it's something that gives glory to God. And just as the Lord has for us in our lives these situations that we deal with the lost loved ones and people aging, I see more and more that God is capable of sustaining us and providing for us, no matter how weak we can be, no matter how difficult it is, that the Lord is the one that really gives us the strength. I think about the value of personal health, and just as it says in here in Ecclesiastes, a time to be born and a time to die. Those are the times that is given to us by the Lord. And as soon as we're born, we start dying. And I appreciate the fact that, there's things that all of us are going to continually deal with in our lives. But the one thing that never changes is the Lord and his promises to us, as long as we follow after his word. And so those are the few thoughts that I had this night. I hope that in the future, whatever the Lord has in store for us, that we always try to endeavor to be forbearing for one another, to be compassionate, and to let the Spirit work with us to help us change within ourselves, to grow in the gospel. And my prayers is for each of us to continue to do that work. Labor in the Lord and do not remain idle. It's so important because there's always a work to be done. Even in the last few days when I was struggling, even when I'm having a hard time physically and mentally, I'm still trying to get things done around the house. And it's important that, we try to get things done in our life for the Lord. And there's always that great sense of accomplishment in that I appreciate and see. Simple little things can bring big, great smiles from people. And it's the little things that make the big difference. So may God bless each and every one of you. I thank you for your time and the ability to share a few thoughts that I had this night. God bless.